So I think a good place to start a conversation is kind of where you start your book, and your book is Color Matter, Skin Tone Bias, and the Myth of a Post-Racial America. And the book starts with you talking about bleached pistachios. explain that a little bit.
One day I was reading this article. It was a newspaper. I think it was the China Daily. And they had a story on how the people were reacting to these bleached nuts. And so when I read the story, there weren't many stories in English. And so I read every story in English, even if it was about ice cream or nuts, And so they were talking about how China is the largest consumer in the world of pistachios, and how what they do is they bleach these pistachios. And so in their natural state, pistachios come in a brown, in a caramel colored shell. But if you sell them in their natural state, people won't buy them. So what they found is that if they bleach them, if they make them lighter, then people would buy them. And so they interviewed all of these folks and said, well, these are the same. Why? What's the deal? Why would you choose the lighter ones over the darker? And everybody uniformly said lighter is better. Lighter is clean. It's unblemished. It's pure. It's better. And it just hit me like a bolt, right? Like from everything, from skin even down to food, lighter is better. And so I thought it was a really great motivation for me, and I thought it was a really great way to begin this story.
So, you know, you're kind of getting at colorism this idea that, you know, lighter is better. But, I mean, can you give us a definition of colorism?
So colorism is the preference for lighter skin over darker skin, lighter skin tone over darker skin tone. So I like to use the example of lighter skin Chinese versus darker skin Chinese, because the question that I get most often is, how is colorism different from racism?
And that was my next question.
So colorism deals with the tone of the skin, so that when you're talking about Chinese people, for example, and when I say to you, all of my female Chinese students tell me that their parents want them to marry, first of all, a white male, but if they can't get a white male, then they should marry a very light Chinese male, right? We're talking about a light-skinned Chinese person over a dark-skinned Chinese person. That has nothing to do with racism, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So if I am a black person, I was at a school the other day, right? And a young black male said to me that he would date black women. He doesn't have a problem with that, but they have to be light in skin color. Okay? So that within the same quote-unquote race, within the same ethnicity, right, you're still making choices based on skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they differ. They can be the same, but they're not. They don't have to be.
What's unique about colorism in the United States? Because I think we have this complicated racial history that I think also ties in with colorism. Like we said, they're not necessarily they're not the same thing, but they can be related. Yeah, I mean, what about the United States and colorism in the U.S. is unique or something that people aren't really aware of?
Well, first of all, you know, you're absolutely right, right? Like that we do have a unique history. We have a unique beginning. But I've found a couple of things as I've journeyed through this. One is that oftentimes white people just don't have a clue when I'm talking about colorism. Like that's not a term they've heard. It's not something they've ever thought about. And they tell me this. You know, I go around giving these talks all the time, and people say, wow, I never really thought about that. The other thing that I I've learned through this journey that lots of people don't understand is the toll that this takes within a community. Colorism is killing the Black community in lots of ways. I mean, the Black community, you know, people will argue about whether there is such a thing, and if I'm putting everybody into one category. But that's a separate conversation. What I'm talking about now is this infighting that occurs among Black people in this United States. And so within families, within all kinds of communities, there is a preference for lighter skin over darker skin. Children tell of stories of how their parents prefer their siblings who are lighter than them who are darker. Grandparents, teachers, right? Like this affects the child so that, it's particularly girls, so that they hate the skin they're in. People are still talking about bleaching themselves. People are still talking about scrubbing the Black off. Little girls are still saying, little girls who have the same skin color as Michelle Obama are still saying, my skin looks nasty. I don't want to be brown. They don't want to play with brown dolls. They associate all kinds of negative things with brown skin. So this continues to be a problem that causes substantial self-esteem and confidence issues, as well as psychological traumas.
Do you think that there is a resistance to talk about this, a resistance to this dialogue about colorism? I mean, because, you know, racism is something, in at least in the past several months since, you know, the shooting death of Michael Brown, has become a more prominent topic of conversation, I think, at least in the region. More people are having conversations about it, and in the nation in some case. I mean, should colorism be a part of that conversation?
So, yeah, there's a huge problem. People don't want to talk about it. But we have to talk about it. And I say we have not been talking about it. We have been sort of scratching around the surfaces, right? But we have not rolled our sleeves up and dug deep into this. We have to have all of these conversations and have them seriously, right? Like I'm saying, like, you know, I need to be able, like, I love going around and talking with groups, because when you can sit people down and you can say, look, this is not about calling you a racist, right? Don't put up your shield. Let's talk, right? Let us sit here and let us have a conversation. Let me show you these two near identical situations, the only difference being skin color. And you let us talk about how we could have such stark different results. What's underlying that? What's going on there? We have to be able to have those conversations, or else people don't get to face their own demons and their own issues. And it just gets buried and buried. You know, I can't tell you how many. I was talking to a group of teachers the other day. I was telling them about these studies. These are teachers in elementary school. And I was saying to them how, I think it was in 2013, 3,200 children's books came out that year. Only 93 dealt with people of color. They looked at me like I had four heads. I mean, nobody even notices that, right? That's a big thing. When children are learning, they need to see themselves in books, right? They need to be a part of that story. They need to be sorcerers, and they need to be able to fly and do all of those things, right?
Yeah.
But when 99% of the stories have white kids doing it, and you're a brown kid, you kind of think you can't fly. And unless somebody points that out, you might not even realize, wow, there are no brown people in the story. Like, we have to talk about that. You know what I mean? People like to sort of pretend blindness, right? But that's making things worse, not better.
You know, so Washington University, you're hosting this Global Perspectives on Colorism conference this week. You know, what are some of the sessions going to focus on? What are some of the things that these panels are going to be discussing?
So we have tomorrow, we start on Thursday afternoon, and we open with a panel that looks at the globalization of skin tone preference. And so we have three people that are going to sort of try to, you know, sort of survey the globe looking at colorism. I have a really exciting panel tomorrow afternoon that's going to look at what we call shadism. And so that panel really will focus on skin tone discrimination as it exists within Black America, right? And so there's going to be a lot of focus there in that particular panel. The panels on Friday will deal with skin color discriminations in India, China, Japan, Singapore. We have people talking about Latin America, South Asia, you know, or just really a survey of how this looks throughout the world. For critics of who say colorism doesn't exist, this is the perfect opportunity to come, to learn, to question. We're going to have people presenting data on income differences based on skin tone, right? We're going to have people talking about stress levels based on skin tone, self-esteem based on skin tone, right? I have a woman who's going to debut her documentary. I think it's called Shadism, and it's a documentary she did in Canada. And so it will also talk about skin color preference and how people feel in their skin. I think she focuses on her younger sister and how she looks at herself in the mirror and navigates life based on this dark skin that she's not happy about. We also are going to have an international human rights panel, which is going to look at how the international legal community, United Nations, any treaties might deal with color discrimination. So there's a nice array of things that will be presented. Most importantly, as I said, for people who've never heard of this, who aren't used to it, who don't understand it, who don't believe it, this is a perfect opportunity to come, to listen, and to ask questions. Every panel will have a period, a 30-minute period at the end where you can engage with the panelists. So, and we are ready to answer questions and help people be comfortable with having these conversations.
Kimberly Norwood is a professor of law at Washington University, St. Louis. Her book is called Color Matter, Skin Tone Bias, and the Myth of Post-Racial America. Kimberly, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.